And now, we bring you Reginald Gardner as The Gentleman, with Alan Reed as Stanley, the gentleman's gentleman. The Gentleman, that debonair and deadly detective in top hat and tails who is...
respected by the police.
Feared by the underworld.
And loved by the ladies.
The Gentleman, whose way with a maid and a murderer are equally famous. The nonchalant nemesis of crime, who comes to you tonight in the episode of The Lovely Liar.
Pardon me. This here ain't the gentleman. This here is Stanley, the gentleman's gentleman. I've been asked to say a few words about the master, Stephen Van Cleve. Well, after being born and growing up like anybody else, in a few short years, he worked his way up to being the world's best operator in the business of lifting other people's valuables. But reaching the top of his chosen profession, he all of a sudden abandons it and falls into honesty. This was naturally a great shock to me. But I stay loyal. I turn honest with him. This don't make me a happy man. Only last week, driving the convertible, which the gentleman has paid the full price for, I suffer.
Stanley.
Yes, sir?
Stop brooding. You look like a hen about to give her all.
I ain't a hen. Mr. Van Cleve.
Yes, Stanley?
How long can all this go on?
All what?
All this honesty.
It happens to be the best policy.
You gotta die before a policy pays off. Maybe you ain't noticed, for example, that the tears of the Empress were swiped last night.
Alas, poor Empress. Left without a tear to shed.
The tears of the Empress, like you didn't know, happens to be a string of matched pearls worth considerable.
I am not interested in matched pearl necklaces, Stanley. I can't afford them.
Who's talking about paying for them? Oh, it ain't right. There was a time when the gentleman would have considered the presence of that there necklace of the same city with him a challenge.
That time is dead.
You sure?
Why, of course I am.
You remember when you persuaded the police commissioner to give you a motorcycle escort out of town, and you with the blue diamond tiara in your pocket?
Yes, and a very pretty tiara it was.
Or the time when you swiped old man Gilray's Rembrandt through the back door, walked through the front door with it, and sold it to him.
A lovely painting.
And how about that time at the police captain's convention when you swiped 317 gold badges?
Yes, what on earth did I ever do with them?
Tell the truth. Don't you ever wish you were back in your real profession with all the excitement and...
There's just as much excitement in being on the side of the law.
It don't pay as good.
A red light, Stanley. Better stop. We have enough tickets.
Yeah.
Hello. Mind if I sit in the back with you?
Why, no.
Why, the babe.
Attend to your driving. The light's changed.
Yes, sir.
And I'll attend
to...
Excuse me, I hate to point, but your arms are around me.
I know, and I love it.
Mm. Mind you, I have no fundamental objections. Quite the contrary, as a matter of fact. But shouldn't we be introduced before...
All right. I'm Susie.
I'm Stephen. And although it's very pleasant, I think I've been strangled.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let go.
No, don't hurry. A little strangulation never hurt anyone.
You see, I get impulses.
Well, I approve of your latest one.
But I think I'd better get out of the car now.
Why?
I just got another impulse.
Well, there's such a thing as being too impulsive. Besides, you haven't given me your address.
Well, I don't think I should give a stranger my address, did I?
But we're not strangers, don't you remember? Van Cleve. Stephen Van Cleve. We met all of a minute ago.
Doesn't seem that long, does it?
Doesn't seem that... Susie, why don't we start all over again? What's the matter?
That's a siren.
So it is.
Hey, Mr. Van Cleve, it's a prowl car overtaking us. We better get out of here fast.
Don't be an idiot. They're not after us.
No, the cop's waving at me to pull over.
Well, then pull over.
Okay.
Our consciences are clear. Perhaps it's a friend of Susie's.
No policeman is a friend of mine.
Hey, he's coming over.
Well, let's all be friendly to him, shall we? A policeman's lot is not a happy one.
Thanks for stopping, friend. Ah, there she is. Come on, you.
Susie, he's speaking to you.
Me?
You.
Well, this is, of course, completely ridiculous, and I'll write to my congressman. Me?
You.
All right. Goodbye, Stephen.
Officer?
Yeah?
I know all about what happened to the cat, but nevertheless, I'm curious. Why are you arresting the young lady?
Hey, wait a minute. I've seen you before. In a police lineup, maybe?
My name is Van Cleve, and I'm afraid you've been denied that pleasure.
Van Cleve? The gentleman. You should have been in one.
I'm so sorry.
The gentleman and Susie. That's funny.
Yes, I'm crazy about laughing, too. Tell me, too, won't you?
Forget it. Come on, Susie.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Police lineup, Susie and myself in close contact. Police laughter. Oh, yes, yes, of course. You may remove the young lady, officer.
Thanks.
But before you do, Susie.
Yes?
Would you very much mind returning my wallet? Dear old apartment 7B. My hat, Stanley.
Put it away yourself. You ain't got a broken arm.
But that is not the way a gentleman's gentleman is supposed to behave.
We're alone, ain't we?
I beg your pardon. And stop sulking.
You sound windbroke.
I was thinking of Susie.
She was a crook.
So she was. Nevertheless.
Never mind the nevertheless.
Stanley, stop sounding like a nagging wife.
Who ever heard of a baritone wife?
She was very lovely. And has left behind her only...
A memory.
This. It was in my right-hand coat pocket.
Holy mackerel.
Well, why overlook codfish?
Mr. Van Cleve, that there is a perfectly matched string of pearls worth conservative.
Never mind what it's worth. It happens to be the tears of the Empress.
Mr. Van Cleve, I take back everything I've been thinking. Without even having to burgle the joint where the necklace was kept, you wind up with it. You're a genius.
Oh, don't be an ass. It was purely accidental and entirely Susie's idea.
Yeah, we'll send her a postcard when we get to... Hey, I better start packing.
Whatever for?
Well, you ought to know that that necklace is too hot to peddle right here in town, so...
I've no intentions of peddling it.
Oh, Mr. Van Cleve.
Yes?
Honesty again.
Honesty still.
I can't believe it. I don't want to believe it. Mr. Van Cleve, sir, look at them pearls. Regard the gleam, the luster.
Mind if I look too, Bob?
Huh? Hey.
Well, we really must have the woodwork cleaned. How did you get here?
Oh, I'm a bad boy. I picked a lock on your back door.
I've not time to spank you, so run along and pick someone else's lock.
No, look.
Oh, the revolver. Yes, I must say you keep it polished nicely. Very good. Now, put it away.
Reach
and...
for the chandelier.
Well, what on earth would I do with the chandelier?
I said...
I refuse. Absolutely nonsensical. Or perhaps you have a fixation about chandeliers. Ceiling fixtures in general. I know a splendid psychiatrist who'd be glad...
Shut up!
Yeah, a highly unnatural condition for me. I,
You ain't. Well, maybe I won't plug you for not reaching, but reach for the pearls.
I know. Bang. You may have the necklace.
Thanks.
It's worth looking at. One of the finest imitations I've ever seen.
You said imitation?
I said imitation.
You're nuts.
No, I'm Van Cleve.
So what?
You may have heard of me under my pseudonym.
No, I've never been out of the country.
I've been known in my time as the gentleman.
The gentleman? The biggest crook that ever snagged the stock? You say this choker is phony?
I not only say it, but it is.
How can you tell?
You've only got to look at it. Or better still, why don't we apply the Messervogel-Fandheim test?
The what?
It's quite infallible. Tells you within 5 minutes whether a pearl is genuine or not.
Yeah, thanks. I ain't got the time. Only if this here is a phony, then somebody else is running out of time, too.
Gentlemen.
So what do we do?
We go, naturally, to the police.
Mr. Van Cleve, this kind of thing I can't get accustomed to. Without nobody putting the arm on you, still you're going to the cops.
Well, don't let it upset you too much, Stanley. We may be going towards the police, but we're not going to join them.
Oh, we're restraining ourselves?
We're remaining outside the police station.
I could think of lots nicer places to hang around outside of.
But none of them would contain Susie.
Susie? Who cares about her?
I do. The station's up ahead. Better stop here.
Okay, sir. You ain't yet told me about Susie.
I'll admit you're old enough to know.
Hey, wait, before you get into that test you mentioned back at the apartment, the,
The Messervogel-Fandheim test?
Yeah. How do you spell it?
My dear Stanley, not only do I not know how to spell it, I don't even know what it is.
Hey, wait a minute. If that's the case, does it mean...
It does. The necklace was quite genuine.
It was, huh?
That makes you happy?
It makes me very happy. Maybe the past is reclaiming you. You lied to somebody.
I ain't never been crazy about police station architecture, Mr. Van Cleve. Maybe the cops ain't gonna release Susie.
Nonsense, they'll have to.
Why?
No evidence against her. You see, by slipping the necklace into my pocket, she cleared herself, so far as the police are concerned.
And maybe they'll hold on to her for luck. No, no, there she comes now.
Good. Out of the car.
And?
And we'll run into her accidentally.
She could find that hard to believe.
I don't think it will matter to her. Ah, hello, Susie. What a happy coincidence.
Oh, Stephen.
Stephen.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you, Susie. Where have you been?
Jail.
Did you like it?
I never do.
You've been to jail before?
Often.
Well, it's probably very restful there, and there's a car coming down the street. Its lights are out. Get down, both of you.
I'm making a hole in the pavement.
Susie, I told you to get down. Rather a brief visit.
I'm glad they couldn't stay.
Susie, are you all right?
Stephen Van Cleve, don't you ever do that again.
I beg your pardon.
I could kill a man like
but
you.
But what have I done?
I don't mind so much you're knocking me down, but you messed up my hairdo.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Just because you were saving my life, there's no reason to mess up my hairdo. After all, a girl's hairdo is very dear to
her. Oh, I do apologize, Susie. And the next time I save your life, I promise I shan't disturb a hair of your head.
Well, all right. Apology accepted.
Good. And now let's go up to my apartment.
Oh, you better get another apology started.
No, no, no etching, Susie.
No etching?
No, phonograph records.
But I'm tone deaf.
Well, then we could try to read the labels on the records together. It's lots of fun. A little hard on the neck, maybe, but...
All right, Stephen. I'll come.
You will? How charming of you. And yet, you know, I rather thought you would. Here we are. It may be only an apartment to you, Susie, but it's an apartment to me, too.
I like it. It's a bachelor apartment, isn't it?
It is.
I'm crazy about bachelor apartments. Sometimes I wish I was a bachelor so I could live in one.
Sometimes you wish you were... Susie, how about a drink?
No, thanks. I promised my mother I'd never drink in a bachelor apartment.
Nonsense. You're perfectly safe here.
That isn't what my mother told me about bachelor apartments.
I give you my word.
Bachelors always do.
Stanley. Go get me a drink.
Yeah. Sir.
And now to get onto a nice, safe subject, Susie. What do you think of the weather?
Oh, I don't know much about the weather.
Well, it's rather interesting. For example, it's generally hot, or when it isn't, it's quite frequently cold.
Mm.
It even rains from time to time.
Stephen.
On the other hand, there have been long, dry spells.
Stephen. Let's not talk about the weather.
You're getting an impulse?
Uh-huh.
Similar to the one you had earlier in the car?
Uh-huh.
I thought I recognized it.
You still approve of it?
Oh, yes.
I'm glad.
But there's nothing in my right-hand pocket, Susie.
What was that?
There's nothing in my right-hand pocket.
If you don't mind, I'll make sure of that.
Oh, please do. And then you might try the left-hand pocket. I'm rarely being so pleasantly surrounded.
Nothing in either pocket.
You're leaving me?
Just stepping back. Stephen, where is it?
Where is what?
You're very pretty, Stephen, but I want the necklace.
Badly enough to... Oh, yes. Definitely badly enough to flourish a revolver about it. Didn't they take that away from you back at the police station?
This isn't my revolver. It's yours.
Oh, my mistake.
So, give me the necklace, Stephen.
I'm afraid I don't have any necklaces. People so rarely give them to me. Now, if it were a tie or a pair of shorts...
This is your gun. So if I shot you with it, nobody would even connect it with me. And I will shoot you, Stephen, unless...
It's only a bachelor's word, of course, but it's the only one I can give you. I do not have the necklace.
What did you do with it?
Gave it to a fellow.
Who?
As I remember, we weren't introduced. He forgot to mention his name.
You expect me to believe that?
Well, I don't believe in Santa Claus either. Nevertheless...
Stephen, you're going to give me that necklace or I'm going to shoot you.
You can't.
Why not?
Ah, this thing is bigger than both of us. You'd hate yourself in the morning.
Oh. Well, Stephen, I hate you tonight.
Well, that's unfortunate because I've something to tell you.
What?
Someone is opening the door behind you.
Oh, that's so corny. Am I supposed to turn my head so you'll be able to grab my gun? I'm not going to.
You should have got her without spilling the drink, Keith.
Very good, Stanley. I'll take the drink and the gun, Susie.
Are you... You're truth teller.
My apologies.
Stephen, I wouldn't really have shot you much.
I hate being shot even a little.
But I worked so hard stealing that necklace. Who did you give it to?
Well, he was rather short, with a kind of ingrown mustache and a pair of pop eyes that should have made a sound every time he turned them.
Eddie Kane.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. I've got to go. Goodbye.
But Susie, you haven't looked at my records yet. Oh, I suppose she really doesn't care about music, Stanley.
What is it, sir?
I'll toss you to see who gets my hat from the closet.
We're following that tomato?
Oh, definitely. Although I don't really think of it as a vegetable.
Toss that coin.
Very well.
Heads. Your hat, Mr. Bentley.
Butcher, someone's knocking at the door.
Yeah, Mr. Kruger.
I'm not verifying the accuracy of my hearing. See who that is, you ape.
Who's the ape?
You are.
Well, you don't gotta get mad about it.
Hello, Butcher.
Hiya, Kane. Hey, it's Kane, Mr. Kruger.
Oh, good. Good, good. I've been waiting, Kane, and not patiently. Where is the necklace?
I don't know.
I don't like jokes.
I don't like them neither, and I ain't joking. Susie scrammed with the pearls after we cracked the vault like we planned, right? But a cop picked her up.
Go on.
Before the cop put the arm on her, I seen her slip the pearls into a guy's pocket.
Yeah, clever little girl. I knew she'd do well with us.
Yeah, I followed the guy, got into his apartment, pulled a gun on him, took the pearls.
Admirable.
Only when I'm walking out with the necklace, the guy says it's a phony.
A phony?
Yes. I asked the guy how come he knows so much. He tells me. His name is Stephen Van Cleve.
The gentleman? Well.
Yeah. And if he don't know, who would? But I don't even take his word for it. Took the necklace over to a hock shop. The guy there offers me a couple of hundred for it. Says it's a beautiful job only but glass. So here it is.
An imitation. Where's Susie?
How would I know?
I want to see her. Badly.
You figuring she pulled a switch on us?
What do you think?
I think she pulled a switch on us.
Then we know what has to be done, don't we?
Susie would appear to be in quite a hurry, Stanley. My slight lie about the necklace should begin to bear fruit shortly.
I ain't even going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
Well, there was very little opportunity for me to do much about the necklace. However, by insinuating that it was false, I may have caused the thieves to fall out amongst themselves.
That makes you happy?
Delirious. Slow down. Susie's cab stopping.
Okay.
Susie's getting out, paying the driver, going into that large house at the corner. Looks like Dracula's little black home in the West.
Looks like the morgue to me.
Well, let's hope it doesn't turn out to be a morgue for someone we know. Cab's gone, and Susie's gone inside.
I don't like this place. Maybe we ought to be gone, too.
Well, don't be silly. Beauty may be in distress. Come along.
Beauty? You mean Susie? She can take care of herself.
I wonder. True, she's slightly dishonest, but I rather suspect that she's not in the killer classes yet. Her little friends, maybe. The front door? I think not. Large grounds. A gate here. A path leading round the side of the house. We'll take it.
Who owns this dump?
I don't know. But judging from its size, a criminal of some dimensions.
You could have had a house like this, too, if only honesty hadn't gone to your head.
Be still. Lighted window, square ahead. Warm night. The window may be open a trifle. It is. Now, if we can get a little closer without being seen, we'll be in a very fine position for a spot of eavesdropping.
Mr. Van Cleve, hooray.
Why the enthusiasm?
Well, eavesdropping ain't exactly illegal, but it ain't polite either. Maybe you're returning to your true self.
Right here will do. Listen.
Well, that's very sweet of you to drop in on us, Susie.
It was not. I came because I want to know where that necklace is.
I'm sure Kane there will be glad to tell you.
I can tell him. He trailed Van Cleve and me and then took the necklace away from Van Cleve.
You're very well informed, my dear.
Oh, sure. But it seems nobody bothered telling me where I was supposed to come for my cut of the necklace.
There's a very good reason for that. You see, Susie, the necklace is on the table to your left.
Oh!
But you're not going to get a cut.
What?
You're going to get the entire necklace, all for your pretty little self.
There's something fishy about this.
Yes, my dear, there is, because that necklace is as phony as your act.
That necklace? Phony? You're crazy.
Oh, try another line. Kane took it to a jeweler's, had it appraised, and found it was worth perhaps $200. What did you do with the real necklace, Susie?
But I only had one necklace. That one on the table.
Weak. Would you like to take a minute and see if you can do better?
You think I kept the real necklace and tried to give you an imitation?
You're a mind reader, my dear.
But that's silly. I didn't.
Watch it. She's reaching for a gun.
Yeah, I noticed.
Got it.
Ow! Ow!
Yeah. Gun in her handbag.
Go, me.
Shut up.
Butcher, Susie doesn't want to cooperate.
No.
It hurts my feelings.
That a fact?
If you and Kane hadn't been so alert, who knows what might have happened. You know, Butcher, Susie really ought to tell us where the genuine necklace is.
But I don't know.
You know what might help her do that, Butcher?
Yeah, I think I know.
I'm telling you the truth. I swear I am.
Stanley, I've got to go in there.
But there are three of them.
Artillery. Nevertheless, I can't have them hurting Susie.
Okay, maybe we can take them.
No, you're going for the police.
Oh, then let's both go.
No, it would take several minutes before a prowl car could reach here, and that time Susie might get hurt. No, I'll go in. Distract them if I can. Get going, Stanley.
Okay, only don't you get hurt too, huh?
Stephen!
Good evening, everyone. I seem to have broken a window. I insist, Mr. Kruger. Whatever you say, I shall draw you a check in the morning.
Who is he?
It's Van Cleve, Mr. Kruger, the gentleman.
How do you do, Kane? So nice to think we've met before. You look very well.
Huh?
Your arthritis hasn't been bothering you?
My what?
Shut up, Kane. Butcher, frisk him.
Oh, good heavens, no.
I said frisk him.
Oh, I've no objection to your men searching me to see if I'm armed. Go right ahead, Butcher.
Thanks.
But did you have to use the term frisk, Mr. Kruger? So old hat.
He's clean.
Yes, that's because I bathe. Does wonders for you, and I never believed it was bad for the health. Butcher, you should really try it sometime.
Huh?
What do you want here, Van Cleve?
Well, you see, I had an appointment with Susie to take her to the movies, and I rather prefer to have her sort of in one piece when I do. Fussy of me, no doubt.
You know, Van Cleve, I hadn't given much thought to your appearance in this business. However, I'm beginning to wonder whether it was sheer accident that caused Susie to drop that necklace into your pocket.
It wasn't an accident at all. It was because she thinks I'm pretty. Of course, she's quite mistaken, but it was an amiable mistake, don't you think?
Mr. Kruger, I don't like this. I think he's stalling for time.
You know, that's quite a peculiar expression, stalling for time. I mean, that is, you tend to think of stalls for horses, you know, those large mammals that consume positively enormous quantities of hay and then make sounds like...
I think perhaps we've had enough of your nonsense, Van Cleve. There's still the matter of that necklace.
You know, I like this lamp you have here, Miss Kruger. Only trouble is, it gives so much light, so...
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Susie, get over here with me. Away from that table. It's a death.
Oh, Stephen, what's happened? Someone's been shot. It's so dark in here. Stephen!
Would anyone care to explain? No? Then I shall. We know that one man is lying dead near the table where the necklace is. We know, too, who that one man is, don't we? The only man who must have known that the necklace was not a fake. The man who had it appraised.
Kane.
Yes, Susie. Kane. The man who lied after he discovered that it was genuine, as I'd known all along it was. He would be the man to make a dash for the table in the darkness to get it. And we know who killed Kane, too, don't we?
The police.
Now, there's not enough time to run, is there? The man who killed Kane had to be intelligent enough to realize that Susie couldn't have switched necklaces because she had no time to have an imitation made. The man who was intelligent enough to realize that that left only Kane. And who shot at the figure that headed for the table in the dark.
Mr. Van Cleve, where are you?
Oh, come right in, Stanley.
All right, everybody, stay put. What cause is?
Officer?
Yes?
May I present Mr. Kruger, murderer?
Everybody's in jail except me.
Stephen, couldn't you have stolen the necklace before the police got there?
Then you'd have been in jail, too, this way.
Oh, suppose you're right. You were awfully smart, Stephen, forcing everything to happen the way you planned. All with a little lie. You know what?
What?
I've got that impulse again.
Lovely impulse.
Stephen.
Yes?
You know, I think I'm becoming a better woman.
You mean, you didn't steal my wallet just now?
Oh, I did steal it, but look, I'm giving it back.
Thank you.
Aren't you proud of me, Stephen?
Very proud. But now, would you mind returning the money that was in the wallet, too?
You have just heard an episode of The Gentleman, starring Reginald Gardner. And now here again is the gentleman to tell you about next week's episode.
Next week, we'll be having the episode of The Missing Midgets, a bizarre affair in which a lovely redhead is followed about by midgets, loved by a giant, despised by a blonde, all of which naturally makes a tasty dish for the gentleman.
And the gentleman's gentleman.
Yes. Stanley and I should be very pleased to have you join us.
Gentleman was written by Louis Vittes and produced and directed by Helen Mack. In tonight's cast, you heard Lorene Tuttle as Susie, Theodore Von Eltz as Kruger, Arthur Q. Bryan was the officer, Larry Dobkin Kane. Barney Phillips played Butcher. Music was composed by Rex Corey. Theremin effects were produced by Dr. Samuel Hoffman. Your announcer is Don Stanley.